Welcome to the December meeting of the South Dakota Game Fish and Parks Commission. Been a while since I've been here, so I kind of feel like the new kid here. I don't know. It's good to see everyone this afternoon, and you know, as I was driving in this morning, I thought, you know, this is really kind of historic times as we just buried our 41st president yesterday, or today, I guess, is the actual burial, and we're at a meeting in between the transition of administrations here in South Dakota, so it's kind of a historic time for us right here now. And of course, this commission does the business of the public, and so public service is one of the things that is a great thing for a person to be a part of. So kind of a neat time in our history, and so without further ado, we will get started here. We'll call the meeting to order. And of course, we have the famous conflict of interest disclosure. Now is the time for the commission to consider any written or verbal disclosures of conflicts of interest by current or former commission members. If any member of the commission has completed a written disclosure of a conflict of interest, the commission will consider the disclosure at this time. If any commission member wishes to verbally disclose an interest in a contract, a direct benefit from a contract, or any other conflict with any matter on today's meeting agenda, please identify the contract or the other matter in which you have a conflict of interest and generally describe the nature of that conflict. Also, if during the meeting you become aware that you have a conflict of interest with any proposed contract or other matter, please notify the chair of the conflict and generally describe the nature of the conflict. If you disclose a conflict of interest, the commission must vote on whether the matter underlying the conflict is fair, reasonable, and not contrary to the public's interest. You may not participate in the commission's discussion and vote on the conflict. And I have received no conflicts of interest, so with that, we will proceed. Minutes from the previous meeting. Are there any alterations or conflicts or changes there? Corrections?
I move that we accept them. Kathy Peterson, I move that we accept the minutes.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes from the previous November meeting. All in favor of that motion would say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? They are approved. Additional commissioner salary days. Are there any? John.
Commissioner Locke and I attended the chronic wasting disease meeting in Pier on the 28th of November.
Are there others? Be one day for John Locken. Any others?
I move approval.
Second.
Okay. Any questions on that? All in favor of the motion to approve would say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That day is approved. Okay. Code of conduct. Chris?
Chairman and Commissioners, Chris Peterson, your finance officer for your South Dakota Department of Game Fish and Parks. For action items today, we just have one item, no license lists for your consideration today, but we do have listed, as we did last month, the code of conduct. This is the work in progress that has been part of overall state government operations, the boards and commission consideration. For the better part of the last year, as we discussed last month during our meeting, in final form as worked upon by different legal counsels throughout state government, we have a form in front of you or a version of a formal code of conduct to adopt for boards, commissions, councils, associations that operate within the realm of state government in South Dakota. Over the last month, we know all of you have had an opportunity to review, consider. We did not get any changes either from us or others or any of you. Mr. Chairman, at this time, we could gauge any other questions, answer those if you had any. Otherwise, it would just be open for action.
Questions for Chris. Chris, I would ask one, is that code of conduct uniform across their state boards?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. It has, in fact, in some of the other boards and councils that I worked with, the Weed and Pest Board for the state of South Dakota, the State Conservation Commission through the Department of Agriculture, they've essentially considered and adopted unchanged as you have in front of you. So it's starting to get there and progress throughout at least the two agencies that I work with, as well as I'm sure many others. And as you know, there are opportunities if you adopt as is today and somewhere down the road through desires of your own or recommendations of others, it's amendable at a later date as well. So, but yes, it is getting adopted throughout other state government agencies.
I move approval.
You'll move approval, okay.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve the code of conduct as presented to us. Are there any comments on it, questions? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion would say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Seeing none, it is code of conduct is approved. I would remind you, if you plan to speak in the open forum, that you should sign in prior to that time, and Rachel would have some sign-in sheets, so if you wish to speak in that, please sign in. What else, Chris? Anything?
Good. No, thank you. Thank you for your consideration on that, Mr. Chairman. Like we mentioned, no other action items as part of the Division of Administration for today. So up until open forum time, we'll just begin rolling through some of those information items, and Kevin can take the next turn at the microphone here with the update on non-mandated waters.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. I have to tell you, Rachel, I thought there was a mistake in the agenda here when I seen no proposals and no finalizations. Wow. Amazing.
Test.
All right, good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. Kevin Roblin here, Special Projects Coordinator with the South Dakota Game Fish and Parks. Just wanted to provide all of you an update on non-meandered waters and where we're at today with non-meandered waters. We haven't had a closure request for the last 6 months. It's been somewhat quiet. To date, we have 3,795 acres closed, and that number's been in place now for quite some time. Ice fishing season is gearing up. Ice is starting to be good ice, actually, on a lot of the northeastern lakes. However, there are some lakes that are spotty ice as well, where there's open places where the migrating waterfall have kept open. So we make sure the anglers, or ask the anglers, to use caution when going out on those lakes that are just starting to freeze over. Another thing that we've been doing here a lot of lately is really kind of talking a lot about recreation and respect. That campaign's been front and center, and it's a really important thing for our users to, you know, shut those gates, stay off those muddy roads, say thank you when they are provided access by private landowners, and it's a great thing to see that, you know, when that respect is shown, great things happen. So we urge folks to continue doing those practices. The Adopt a Lake program is something we have been pursuing very rigorously here as a department. We've had now over a dozen lake cleanup event days, And we're looking at doing more of those, especially with the ice coming on these lakes. We are asking the public to look for opportunities pertaining to cleaning up ice, especially on lakes that get a lot of use, that have a lot of overnight shacks on them. We do have some garbage issues, and anytime anglers see garbage, it's always great to pick up that garbage. So if there's groups or organizations out there wanting to participate in ICE Adopt a Lake event, ICE Cleanup Day, we'd be more than willing to help set that up and get those efforts going. And that's really all I had to cover on non-meandered waters. The ice fishing season, like I said earlier, is gearing up. We might see some additional closures, and we'll make sure the commission's informed on those closures. And it depends on the bite. Sometimes when the bite gets really hot, closure could follow. But we'll keep everybody informed. And are there any questions at this time?
You mentioned ice fishing. Do those buoys show up pretty well when the lakes freeze over and snow gets on there?
So actually, there's two marking requirements, one being the buoys and the other are those signs. And typically in the wintertime, the 5-gallon buckets with the sign setting on top of the ice is kind of the marker that's used most often. Other landowners have actually drilled holes and let those signs freeze in, but we do recommend using those signs during ice fishing season, and landowners have been very good about that, getting those water bodies marked, and everything is updated on our mobile app live, so those things would be very illustrated on those maps as well, where those boundary lines are, and we want to make sure we keep very accurate and up-to-date maps.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you, Kev.
Thank you.